Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 2, text 37. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanah satam katamritam shravana bhuteshu sambhitam punanti te vishaya vidushitashayam Rajanti tat charana soruhantikam pivanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam tatamritam shravana puteshu sambhritam punanti te vishaya vidushitashayam Rajanti tat charana saroruhantikam Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam Katamritam shravana puteshu sambhritam Punanti te vishaya vidushitashayam Rajanti tat charana saroruhantikam Vivanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam Katamritam shravana puteshu sambhritam Punanti te vishaya vidushitashayam Rajanti tat charana saroruhantikam
Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam
Pibanti ye bhagavata atmanasatam
Katamritam shravana puteshu sambhritam
Katamritam shravana puteshu sambhritam
Punanti te vishaya vidushitasanam
Rajanti tat charana saroruhantikam Pibanti
who drink
Those. Bhagavataha.
Bhagavataha.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Atmanaha.
Atmanaha.
Of the most dear.
Of the most dear.
Satam.
Satam.
Of devotees.
Of devotees.
Kata amritam.
Kata amritam.
The nectar of the messages.
The nectar of the messages.
Shravana puteshu.
Shravana puteshu.
Within the ear holes.
Within the ear holes.
Sambhritam, fully filled. Punanti, purify. Te, there. Vishaya, material. Enjoyment. Vidushita, ashayam, polluted aim of life. Rajanti, do go back. Tat, the Lord's. Charana, feet. Suroruha, Antikam,
near the lotus.
Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. Purport. The sufferings of human society are due to a polluted aim of life, namely lording it over the material resources. The more human society engages in the exploitation of undeveloped material resources for sense gratification, the more it will be entrapped by the illusory material energy of the Lord, and thus the distress of the world will be intensified instead of diminished. The human necessities of life are fully supplied by the Lord in the shape of food grains, milk, fruit, wood, stone, sugar, silk, jewels, cotton, salt, water, vegetables, etc., in sufficient quantity to feed and care for the human race of the world, as well as the living beings on each and every planet within the universe. The supply source is complete, and only a little energy by the human being is required to get his necessities into the proper channel. There's no need of machines and tools or huge steel plants for artificially creating comforts of life. Life is never made comfortable by artificial needs, but by plain living and high thinking. The highest perfectional thinking for human society is suggested here by Shukadeva Goswami, namely sufficiently hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. For men in this age of Kali, when they have lost the perfect vision of life, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight by which to see the real path. Om Ajnana Tumidantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Vahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Vandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Horipriye Mansha Kolpatarupyascha Kripasindho Pyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari Pivantiye Bhagavata Atmana Satam Katamritam Shravana Puteshu Sambhutam Punantite Vishya Vidushyashayam Vidushitashayam Prajanti Tach Charana Sarodhantika. The Prabhupada first glosses here the word vidushitashaya. Vidushitashaya means a polluted aim of life. Vidushita. Dushita means vidushita. Nasty, polluted. Ashaya. Ashaya means hopes or aspirations. People are aspiring for something nasty, polluted, not the actual goal of life. Nate vidu svartakatim vishnu. Durashaya, ye, bahirartamanaya. Because they don't know that the real goal of life is the lotus feet of Vishnu. Paramam Panam. They're aspiring for external things, Bahirartha. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for value in the external energy of the Lord. I suppose we don't need these lights. They're looking for value or meaning in the external energy of the Lord. Durashya, hoping against hope that they'll find happiness in that way. And as Prabhupada points out, they're over-exploiting the resources of the material energy. We see this, that the world, when the governments of the world plan their military deployments and so on, they're largely thinking in terms of the resources of the earth, especially the great powers of the world are scanning the world and seeing where can we get tin, where can we get copper, where can we get bauxite, where can we get petroleum, where can we get gold, where can we get diamonds. And they're very much interested in exploiting these things and creating huge industries for unnecessary profit and the hope to enjoy. The enjoyment is not coming. For the sake of enjoyment, we're fighting wars all over the world. So many people are being killed. For the sake of enjoyment, the atmosphere is becoming polluted. For the sake of enjoyment, the roads are overcrowded with so many unnecessary vehicles. And all this for enjoyment. For the sake of enjoyment, so many animals are being killed. And how is it improved? Who's enjoying more because the animals are being killed? Instead of killing animals, instead of producing grains and fruits and vegetables, we're killing so many creatures. And is it making anyone happier? Even on face value, are people happier when they're eating animal flesh than when they're eating vegetables, fruits, and grains? Has it increased their happiness? Or, objectively speaking, their health is imperiled. So much extra water is required, so much extra this, so much extra that. Hugely wasteful in terms of people are going on marches and everyone wants to save the environment, but at the same time they want to chop down animal flesh. How is anyone becoming happier in this way? And that's leaving aside the karmic reactions for the slaughter of so many innocent creatures. Oh, huge industries, huge undertakings for the killing of animals. But how has it improved the business of eating? Rather, eating has become more nasty, more vicious, more wasteful, more polluting, more everything. More everything except more beneficial. Not slightly more beneficial, but so nasty. So it's a sample how human society, in a hope of happiness, is making life worse. Krishna has provided fruits, grains, vegetables, cotton, silk, gold, everything sufficiently. But we want more, we want more. Prabhupada said it can easily be exploited. That means easily used. Doesn't need huge agribusiness, it doesn't need huge arrangements, but that's what we get instead. These farming doesn't mean farming anymore, it means some huge business. The family farm is practically an unknown remnant of the past. And people are eating, who knows even what they're eating, a cross between a tomato and a scorpion. Huge industries, when human society, in fact, can live simply and naturally and be more happy. And the real purpose of life is to think of Krishna, to be engaged in the service of Krishna, to cultivate consciousness of Krishna. And that they're forgetting. Nate vidu svarta katim. He, Vishnu. They're forgetting the purpose of life while madly rushing after greater comforts, greater improvements of material standard of living. So Sukadeva Goswami suggests the right path in the form of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Pibanti means drinking. But it means drinking through the ears. To drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamali. To drink this nectar, one has to drink it with the ears. And one will relish the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has commented on the Katamritam mentioned in this verse and has indicated Srimad Bhagavatam be the nectarian message of the personality of Godhead. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside, and the people in general in all parts of the world will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. We can visualize some pool of water which has become polluted, but just as in the scientists, they'll take some chemicals or something and they'll try to purify the water. I think Srila Prabhupada mentioned that putting alum in water settles the other things to the bottom. Or in the rainy season, in autumn, rather, the rain comes and it purifies the pools of water. So the message of Srimad Bhagavatam will purify the polluted aim of life. People have the wrong aim of life in mind because they're hearing all rubbish. As mentioned yesterday, the man-made machines are spreading rubbish topics that pollute the aim of human life. So the antidote is to spread the transcendental sound vibration of the message of the personality of Godhead. And that will purify the aim of life of the misdirected living beings. Therefore, Bhagavatam, the message of Bhagavatam, should be spread. And people will become free from passion and ignorance, lust and greed, and come to the mode of goodness and be peaceful and satisfied in Krishna consciousness. For a pure devotee of the Lord, any topics in relation with his name, fame, quality, entourage, etc., are all pleasing. And because such topics have been approved by great devotees like Narad, Hanuman, Nanda Maharaj, and other inhabitants of Vrindavan, certainly such messages are transcendental and pleasing to the heart and soul. All the topics relating to Krishna are pleasing to the pure devotees. And by the constant hearing of the messages of the Bhagavad Gita and later of Srimad Bhagavatam, one is assured herein by Srila Sukadeva Goswami that he will reach the personality of Godhead and render him transcendental loving service in the spiritual planet of the name Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower. What is that here? Saroruham. Vrajanti tat charana Suroruantikam. One will approach the lotus feet of the Lord. Suroruha means the lotus. Chadana Suroruha, the lotus feet of the Lord, are always situated on the Goloka Vrindavan planet, which is also shaped like a lotus. Thus, by the process of bhakti yoga, directly accepted, as suggested in this verse, by sufficient hearing of the transcendental message of the Lord, the material contamination is directly eliminated without one's attempting to contemplate the impersonal virat conception of the Lord. And by practicing bhakti yoga, if the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo-devotee. For such an impostor, there is no remedy for being freed from material entanglement. Thus end the Bhakti Vedanta purports of the second canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord in the Heart. The Bhakti Yoga process is the direct process. Anarto Pasamam Shakshad, Bhakti Yoga Matosya. Srila Sukadeva Goswami has described the gradual process of meditating on the universal form, meditating on the Supersoul. But directly, one can engage in the devotional service of the Lord, and that will fulfill all purposes. All right. Are there any questions?
Yeah, it's a... Again, it's kind of hinted at it at the end of the purport about the pseudo-devotee who does get purified.
Yes, the pseudo-devotee.
So the question is...
Yeah, well, I'm ready for the question.
I'm just saying that what I'm getting at is kind of hinted at the end of the purport. But he's saying that by hearing you get purified of the holy name of life. Mm. But we also hear that there are these... called weeds, that there's a weed that...
Weeds, yeah.
It is our desires to actually lord it over material nature, which is he's talking about. The polluted aim of life is to want to lord it over the material nature, so there are these weeds that, besides the bhaktilada, which basically our desires to lord it over material nature, and one may accidentally water while hearing. So, can you talk about that?
By hearing, one may water the weeds as well as the desired plants. The pseudo-devotees are mentioned here. Yes, therefore one has to pull up the weeds. Just like by chanting Hare Krishna, you can become purified, you can become happy, you can become focused on the personality of Godhead. But you can also develop a reputation, and then young women will come because you're such a great devotee, and then you'll think, oh, I'm such a great devotee, the women are all attracted to me, and so on. So while you're watering the plant of devotional service, you may be watering weeds also. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that one has to uproot those weeds. One has to see, oh, this is an anartha, that's an anartha. One has to see, oh, am I chanting for name and fame, or am I chanting to glorify the personality of Godhead? Am I becoming attracted to Krishna, or am I becoming attracted to young girls? What is my actual position? And one has to uproot those unwanted things within the heart. Otherwise, if one leaves them there and thinks, well, this is nice, by chanting Hare Krishna, I'm getting everything. I'm getting happiness, I'm getting spiritual advancement, I'm getting affectionate young girls who love me, then that will spoil everything.
Maharaj, what does it mean exactly when we say watering the weeds? How we do that?
I just gave the example that someone's chanting Hare Krishna and he's getting spiritual advancement, but he's also getting a reputation. And he's a reputation. People are thinking, oh, his chanting is so great. He's such a wonderful devotee. His kirtan is so nice. And then naturally he attracts the admiration of people, and especially female people. And then he thinks, oh, yes, my kirtan is so nice, and the girls are, they love it. And so on. So then he starts to enjoy the results that are not actually enjoyable or not meant for enjoyment. So both things, he can't distinguish. Here's the plant and here's the weed. So he's, both of them are growing, and he's thinking, how nice, the garden is growing so nicely. But two things are growing, devotional service and the weeds will choke the devotional plant. So one has to be vigilant. One is chanting Hare Krishna, but he's committing 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. One is thinking that this chanting is very nice because I can get freed from material reactions to sinful activities, so that gives me like a little more leeway. If I weren't chanting, I'd have to be more careful, because when I did this or did that, I would get smashed by material nature. But because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna will see I'm a devotee, so I can, not it won't go so hard on me. Little extra wiggle room. So let me take advantage. So in various ways, or one thinks that this chanting is very nice. I can chant and make spiritual progress and make money by chanting also. I can make recordings, I can hold programs, and I can make a pretty good living by chanting Hare Krishna. Then it becomes a professional business. One is thinking how to chant in such a way as to please the audience so that they'll give money and I can spend it for my householder life. So while watering the plant of devotional service by hearing and chanting, one may also be watering the weeds if one is not careful. Is that okay? One is writing a book and one's thinking I can glorify Krishna and become a famous author.
I was just thinking that one could be really inspired to like to do everything very perfectly, to really study well, to sadhana, and in that way one will like rise very fast with the NISKCON, become like a, you know, because you get respect because everyone sees you're strict in your sadhana and you're studying and you're
that.
And that could motivate you to be very, just that upward mobility can motivate one to be very, very focused on everything. But that's, isn't that like watering the weed? It's like a practical way of watering the weed.
Yeah, if we think that by devotional service I'll get a position, I'll get money, I'll get material enjoyment, I'll get power, then one can fall down, or one has already fallen.
In which there is somewhere in some scripture or some writing that that particular weed is said to look exactly like the Bhakti Lata. It's very hard. Where is it written?
Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the description of that. Either description of the plant of devotional service or the description of the Kundicha Manja, one of those two verses.
I'm just thinking of the weeds, okay? Like, you're mentioning things like, kind of like maybe byproducts. Of course, you mentioned about making, you know, selling CDs and stuff. But for instance, you mentioned earlier about, you know, a woman being attracted to you. So it's kind of like fame, you know. But fame is natural for a devotee. He says, what's real fame?
But the weed is not the fame.
Right.
The weed is the enjoyment of the fame, or right, the desire right. for the fame.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, so
fame is all right.
Right.
Ramananda Roy said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is real fame, to be famous as a devotee. But if one is thinking that I'll be a devotee and become famous, that's a weed.
So it's the mentality,
yeah,
not the result of the material, even the external result of chanting.
Yeah. Yeah. One has to be careful that so many results will come. One may get money, one may get young girls attracted, one may get so many followers, one may get so many things. But one has to be careful. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nadanam Najanam Sundarim Kavitam Va Jagadishakam. He's teaching us. While chanting Hare Krishna, we have to be careful about these things.
And how do we deal with pride and devotional service?
How do we deal with pride? Well, there are various ways of dealing with pride. One can read, Shukadeva Kaviraj Goswami says that one should keep this verse around his neck. Trinadapi shuni chena turodapi sahishuni. So by remembering the instruction, I shouldn't become proud, I shouldn't become proud. Amani na amana dena. By remembering Krishna and giving credit to Krishna and the spiritual master, we saw that Prabhupada would do that. He would accomplish something and then he would give the credit. That actually all the credit belongs to my Guru Maharaj. Simply Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna, but not me. Not that I've accomplished so much because of my great power. But he would credit Krishna, Guru, Mahaprabhu. By knowing the philosophy, am I the doer? Is everything accomplished by my power? One has to know that everything is done by Krishna. Okay. And keep things in perspective. You know, what have I accomplished compared to the great acharyas? What have I accomplished compared to so many devotees who've done more? You know, I sell 15 books and I think I'm the greatest thing in the world. And people have sold thousands of books. So it's good to keep in mind. We sort of go on in our, we're wired to go on in our heads about how great what we're doing is. It's good to keep in mind that which has been done by those who are greater than we are. Anything else? Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes.
And the best way to completely uproot these weeds?
Best way to completely uproot these weeds, of course, by constant chanting of the holy name of Krishna, by depending on Krishna and Guru, and by being attentive to it. We can't just pray to Krishna. If we're tending a garden, we can't just pray to Krishna and hope all the weeds will disappear. We have to actually tear them up. So one has to be, Prabhupada says, guard against these 10 offenses. In other words, they don't automatically just diminish. One has to consciously try to avoid them. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.